beautiful people. This is the Michael Slate Show, and I am your guest host, Sansara Taylor. On today's show, we'll be sharing segments from the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show, which airs on YouTube. But before we get into that, I have incredible, exciting, tremendous news. Bob Avakian, the revolutionary leader, the author and architect of a whole new framework for human emancipation, what we call the New Communism, is out now on social media, at Bob Avakian Official on all the platforms. He's bringing his voice and world-class leadership to the public square, telling people the truth they need to hear and fighting for revolution. And he is straight up, at this historic time, putting himself forward because he is a leader who can lead us through this crazy morass and intensifying nightmare and crisis of this system to wrench out a real revolution. True emancipation for all of humanity. So don't miss this. If you're on TikTok, Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter, all the social media platforms, look for at Bob Avakian Official, and you can find him bringing you the truth, hard-hitting, not watered down, the truth you need regularly. Don't miss it. The other thing I want to highlight for you is that the full RNL Revolution Nothing Less show is available at youtube.com/therevcoms. And on that channel, you can find the full, complete, historic three-part series interview that I did with Bob Avakian together with my co-host there, Andy Z. We interviewed Bob Avakian extensively. He spoke about his life. He opened up his heart, his history, his personal development, but also his political development. He explored the lessons and formative experience that he draws from working closely with the Black Panther Party in their most revolutionary days. He gets into how he went from being a patriotic American, thankful that he was born in what he believed was this greatest of all countries, to somebody who has become an ardent critic of this country and everything it stands for and everything it does in the world down to today, and the most fiercest advocate for an actual revolution and fighter for this revolution to bring about a world without everything America stands for and true emancipation for all of humanity. He gets into the strategy for this revolution. He gets into the future society, what it needs to look like. He gets into all the things that are holding people back, from those who are catching the hardest hell at the bottom of this society to the students on the campuses with the woke lunacy that's taking hold, but also reaching people's highest aspirations for a radically different world. He does all of this and more, gets into the poetic spirit, gets into all of this, but he is hardcore for a real revolution. And there is nothing like this journey, like these interviews. So I recommend you go to youtube.com/therevcoms. You can also find them at the website revcom.us, where you will find hundreds of articles, audio, other clips about this revolution and from this revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian. There are very few people in the public square or not in the public square who would say that these are normal times, or times even close to normal, whatever that has meant. But very few realize that this is one of those rare times when revolution is more possible. And for the sake of humanity and the planet, we need to seize this moment so the resources I just gave you are indispensable in the situation we are in. So with that, let's begin with the opening commentary from the Revolution Nothing Less show. My name is Sansara Taylor, and I'm here with Annie Day.
Hi, and welcome. This show is about an actual revolution to overthrow this whole system and bring a radically, fundamentally different society into being.
On the Revolution Nothing Less show, we follow and promote the leadership of Bob Avakian, the foremost revolutionary leader and thinker in the world today. And we want to start today's episode right off with breaking news from Bob Avakian's social media, a dispatch from BA.
America strikes.
Tonight, the American retaliatory strikes have begun.
Dozens of airstrikes against Iranian-backed militias in retaliation.
Retaliatory strikes.
This is in retaliation for the drone strike that killed three U.S. troops in Jordan last weekend.
This is Bob Avakian with some breaking news for real. Breaking into the bullshit brought to you by the capitalist imperialist propaganda machinery, CNN, MSNBC, Fox, and the rest. Recently, these so-called news outlets have been full of talk about U.S. retaliatory strikes in the Middle East after an attack on a U.S. military installation in the country of Jordan killed three U.S. soldiers. This brings up a very important question that none of these media want you to think about. What the hell is the U.S. military doing thousands of miles from the U.S. in the Middle Eastern country of Jordan? The answer is this. What it is doing in Jordan is part of what the U.S. military as a whole is doing with its guns, bombs, missiles, and other means of mass slaughter, killing huge numbers of people in the most monstrous ways all over the world so that the U.S. can remain the world's number one capitalist imperialist oppressor and destroyer of people and the environment, with the U.S. military itself one of the main forces rapidly devastating the environment. And here's something else these capitalist imperialist media don't want you to think about. The recent attacks on U.S. forces in the Middle East, including this one in Jordan, are themselves in response to, or retaliation for, the massive genocidal slaughter of Palestinian people that is being carried out by Israel with the full backing of the U.S. Three U.S. soldiers killed in Jordan, nearly 30,000 Palestinians, overwhelmingly civilians, including huge numbers of children, slaughtered in Gaza, with the number increasing every day. And all this poses the growing possibility of a dangerous wider war. As it turns out, the three U.S. soldiers killed in Jordan were black. On the personal level, this is, of course, a terrible loss for their families and loved ones. But this raises another big question. What in the hell are black people doing in the military of the very system that has viciously, violently oppressed black people throughout the history of this country and right down to today? And what kind of system is it that robs so many people in this country of a decent life, murders and mass incarcerates them in the thousands and millions, and offers them a way out by becoming part of the machinery of mass slaughter that is the U.S. military? The answer? A system, the system of capitalism imperialism that needs to be overthrown and swept off the face of the earth at the earliest possible time. And right now is a rare time when the possibility for this is real, when a revolution to bring this system down and bring something much better into being could actually succeed. That is the biggest truth and the most important breaking news that I am bringing to you in these ongoing messages.
That was Bob Avakian with a social media dispatch. And I just have to say, there is nothing like what you're hearing in these social media dispatches, and there's more to come. Look, I've been going around, I've been talking to a lot of people and arguing with people about the need for revolution, about the need for communism in a whole new world, and about the urgent time to get organized now for revolution, like Bob Avakian just said. The one thing I've been doing that I think everyone should do is when you're talking to people, have them pull out their phones right on the spot. People say, oh, yeah, yeah, no, I'll look it up. No. Don't look it up later. Let's get out your phone right now. Pull out your Instagram, pull out your TikTok or Twitter or whatever, and follow on the spot. This is what people need to hear, not just once, but repeatedly, because he's coming out with a lot of messages that you need to hear and that everybody you're talking to and millions more need to hear.
Yeah, millions need to hear this voice at Bob Avakian Official. We should all be on a mission to spread that and get people to follow. In today's show, the heart of today's show is going to be a really beautiful, wide-ranging excerpt from the Bob Avakian interviews that he did here on this channel. We'll tell you more about that when we get to it. We're also going to bring you some updates on our fight to bring students and young people into this revolution and some of the questions that we're running into as we do this. We're going to bring you the stupidest thing of the week, as we've been featuring recently every week. And we're going to get started by taking a look at the developing crisis down at the border. Annie?
There's an intensifying crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border, a crisis that impacts the lives of millions of human beings desperately fleeing their imperialist-dominated homelands for the basic ability to survive, and a crisis that's a concentration of the fight over the whole direction of society. The leading fascist rulers have thrown down with a vicious, anti-immigrant, white supremacist America First program, trying to lock down the border and stop all migration. They've strung more than 700,000 rolls of razor wire along the border, filled the river that separates Texas and Mexico, the Rio Grande, with floating barriers embedded with circular saws. The fascist governor of Texas has tried to claim the state's jurisdiction over the border in opposition to the federal government, which is a blatant violation of long-standing laws. The fascist movement has made clear they will accept nothing less than total domination over society of their full-on fascist program, and they're seizing the initiative. And no matter how much more repressive the Democrats get in their attempt to find a compromise with the Republicans, these fascists demand more.
There is zero chance I will support this horrible open borders betrayal of America.
Not only has Biden deported more immigrants than any president in history, but he tried to pass a vicious anti-immigrant bill.
If that bill were the law today, I'd shut down the border right now and fix it quickly.
Cutting off the ability for migrants to apply for asylum, increased funding for the militarization of the border, and with promises to shut down the border entirely if too many people were trying to cross. But even that wasn't good enough for the fascists, who've killed the bill for now. Meanwhile, this past weekend saw an escalation of the fascist social base, with gatherings of more than 1,000 people in convoys that called itself God's Army to take our borders back. They voiced support for Texas with threats to violently defend what the fascist Governor Abbott is doing. And these were rallies preparing for a holy civil war to reclaim America. But this did not go entirely unchallenged. In Eagle Pass, Texas, and in San Ysidro, California, the RevComs were there to oppose the fascists and fight for a revolution, for a whole new world. Here's a local CBS News coverage from San Ysidro.
Not just gonna sit and let this happen.
People have to confront that our society is being ripped apart.
It was a battle at the border today. A caravan traveling from across the country made their way to San Diego this morning, all in an effort to raise awareness on issues at our border.
Now, a group opposing that message also traveled to the border to make sure the community heard their message as well. CBS8's Esmeralda Perez spoke to both groups about their concerns.
The group Take Back Our Border drove thousands of miles here in San Ysidro as part of a nationwide rally to address border security. Meanwhile, counter-protesters want to spread the message of liberation to all people.
Red, white, and blue filled the San Ysidro Athletic Area as more than 100 people made their way here as part of the Take Our Border Back convoy.
Good days of America didn't bring us here. It's the bad days, it's the bad happenings that brought us here.
The group started in Virginia Beach and traveled cross-country to address the nation's border security and call for the end to illegal immigration. Today's rally came as part of a nationwide effort, with convoys also gathering at the border in Texas and Arizona.
But everybody's aware that this is a threshold of line crossed beyond just regular people coming.
Narek is one of several people who showed up to make their voices heard on issues that concern them.
Country's borders are wide open and there's all sorts of people coming in, and like President Trump would say, they're not sending their best.
The opposing group RevCon made their way to the San Ysidro Port of Entry from Los Angeles this morning in opposition of Take Our Border Back.
our message today is we don't have an immigration problem, we have an imperialism problem. When we say imperialism, we mean a system that is dominating all over the world.
Michelle Chai is a leader for REFCON Los Angeles. She tells me REFCON is calling on people to stand up on issues happening within the immigration system.
Right? The fact that they are, you know, the fact that they're doing this as part of their larger, quote unquote, make America great again.
Several people who were crossing into Mexico this morning heard their message.
Ningún ser humano es ilegal.
No human is illegal is what was chanted, a statement this group hopes to spread in the community.
To call forward all the people that don't want to live in this kind of world where immigrants are made into less than human.
As you heard from that clip, these fascists are whipping up genocidal, racist hysteria about a so-called invasion of migrants at the southern border. But as you also saw in that news clip, the RevComs have been calling on people to stand up against all this, to seize on the sharpening splits among the rulers to get organized for revolution. There really is a whole different way that we could live and a whole different way society can be organized. But much more is needed in terms of people standing up and getting organized for this revolution now and quickly. Now, in taking this out to people, we've encountered a lot of sympathy for the migrants, but also a lot of confusion. And one of the questions people have raised has been, yes, I feel bad for those desperate people, but wouldn't it have been better if they didn't risk their lives, if they made better choices? Coco Das, a writer and a RevCom who's gone to Eagle Pass over the last several weeks, spoke to this in a recent social media post.
This is Coco Das here to talk about something we heard on a recent trip to the border at Eagle Pass, Texas. Some people we talked to said migrants should make better choices so that they don't drown in the river or die in the desert. Look, the choice between starvation, violence, and repression at home and desperately fleeing for survival is a choice no one should have to make, but millions are forced to under this system of capitalism imperialism. This country sits at the top of that system, living off and oppressing people all over the world. To maintain and enforce their position, the rulers of this country drop bombs and wage war. They invade and occupy other countries. They prop up brutal regimes, impose crippling sanctions, and gut national economies. And they drill, drill, drill for oil, taking the climate crisis to a tipping point. Then, they slam the door on people whose lives have been made unlivable. This is like setting a house on fire and then shooting down the people who are trying to run to safety. The problem is not individual choices. The problem is this system of capitalism imperialism that confronts people with choices that really are no choice. But here's the real question. What choices are you going to make? Are you going to think and talk like the oppressor about our borders and those immigrants? Or are you going to stand up against this vicious assault on immigrants' lives? Are you going to continue to accept the system and all of its horrors? Or are you going to be part of a revolution to overthrow this whole system? A liberating alternative for all of humanity is possible. In a society based on the Constitution for the New Socialist Republic of North America, authored by Bob Avakian. Stop the demonization, criminalization, and deportations of immigrants and the militarization of the border. We don't have an immigration problem. We have an imperialism problem. We need and we demand a revolution for a whole new way to live and a fundamentally different system.
You are listening to The Michael Slate Show. We're going to take a short musical break and be right back.
By lonely border walls, I heard a young girl calling. Daddy, they have taken you away. Now they run us from our land, chasing with an iron hand. Now amongst the lifeless bodies you lay, low lie the fields Palestine, where once they watched the small free birds fly. Their love was on the wing. They had dreams and songs to sing. It's so lonely round the fields of Palestine.
So we're in a race against time to bring forward thousands into this revolution, to seize on the time where revolutions become more possible. And Sansara, you've been out on the campus planting a pole for this revolution and fighting to bring students into this revolution, and you have something to announce.
Actually, revolution is possible. And if this revolution is not made soon, humanity is thoroughly f***ed. That's the name of a talk that I will be giving at UCLA on Thursday, February 15th, in Young Hall, CS24, at 6:30 p.m. And you don't want to miss it if you can get there, because we're living in a time when the world is being radically changed. And what you do or fail to do can make all of the difference. Look around. Genocide in Gaza, backed by Biden and the entire U.S. ruling class. Global climate destruction, driven by the system of capitalism imperialism. The right to abortion obliterated, LGBTQ rights under assault, Republicans and Democrats competing over who can be more vicious and deport more people at the border. And meanwhile, trigger-happy white supremacists, Christian fascists of all stripes, and MAGA Republican mobs are preparing for civil war to wipe out all those they hate if Trump is convicted or if he loses the election. Bob Avakian, the revolutionary leader, has put it straight up. Humanity can no longer afford to allow these imperialists to continue to dominate over humanity and to determine the destiny of humanity. And it is a scientific fact that we do not have to live this way. So I am calling on you to come to this talk where I am going to make the case why, yes, only a revolution can bring about a future worthy for humanity. Why this revolution is more possible now than it's been in generations. What it will take to make this revolution, what your role in it is, and what we would replace this monstrous system of capitalism imperialism with. There is too much at stake to stay home. Be there next Thursday. Bring everybody you know. That's my announcement.
All right. Well, I'm going to be there.
I'm really glad you're going to be there.
I mean, this is very exciting. And I know you guys have been on the campus really fighting for people to raise their sights and to stop making peace with all the justifications for the nightmares of the very society that they also feel great discomfort with. And one of the big questions we've encountered is this lie about some kind of fixed human nature. We're going to play a video from Rafael Cadaros, who's been out on the campus with Sansara, who takes this on.
Hey, it's Rafael with the RevComs, and I've been out at UCLA a lot recently, and one of the things that keeps coming up from students is human nature. People say things like, yeah, it's messed up what's happening to the Palestinian people, but this kind of thing's been going on forever. What can you do? It's just human nature. Another student agreed with me that capitalism is literally destroying the climate of our planet. But she said there's no point in trying to overthrow capitalism because greed is just human nature. And we just got to accept the fact that humans are probably going to go extinct soon. Yo, what the f***? This system has such a grip on your mind that you think that all this horrific oppression and even the extinction of humanity is just the natural order of things? How convenient for this system and those who rule over it. Seriously, people, it's time to free your mind. This system has not always existed, and it can go out of existence. And as the open letter from Sansara Taylor puts it, the world is being radically changed right now. And what you do or fail to do can make all the difference. So with that in mind, let's watch the revolutionary leader Bob Avakian address this question of human nature from a talk he did way back in 2003.
Now, still another thing that some people say is this. Well, you say it's the system of capitalism that is the problem and that it must be done away with. But isn't the real problem people themselves and the fact that people are messed up? Isn't the problem human nature? You hear this all the time because this idea is pumped into people's heads. Now, talking about human nature, the simple fact is there is no such thing as human nature in the way people mean it. That is, there is not one human nature. There is not some uniform and unchanging way that everybody is and how everybody sees the world. Human nature has different meanings in different times and for different classes and groups in society. For example, let's go back to slavery. What would be considered very natural by a slave owner would not at all be seen as natural to a slave. The idea that the slave should be docile, go along with slavery, that that's in their nature, would not at all be acceptable to the slaves. But that would seem to perfectly conform to human nature in the viewpoint of a slave owner. Or talking about human nature and how people see things and what they do, let's look at the peasants in China before the revolution won and afterward. Before the revolution won in China, the peasants owned small plots of land. They tried to eke out a meager existence. They suffered starvation in the tens of millions, which they never tell you about, by the way. Everything was perfect in China until Mao came along, in case you didn't know. But they suffered starvation in the millions and tens of millions, and they were so poor and so faced with the danger of starvation every day that they literally used to stay up every night, have a member of the family stay up all night to guard their own individual plot from their neighbors so their neighbors didn't come and steal something from their plot. After the revolution, the people worked together cooperatively, and then they collectivized the land and worked together on a higher basis and improved their lives and changed the society. What was the human nature involved? The human nature was in one set of conditions, they had to act one way, but once they got rid of those conditions, they began to be able to act another way. Now, it's not the masses of people who have made the system they are forced to live under. It is a system that makes people relate to it and relate to each other in certain ways. People do not get to just choose any system they want. Although, by rising up against the system, people can begin to change themselves and they can lay the foundation for finally overthrowing the system and then radically changing all of society, including the way people see things and how they understand the world. And when conditions become ripe, people do get the opportunity to choose a different system. That is, to change the whole system through a revolutionary struggle and a revolutionary transformation. This is the era of history that we're living in, when such a revolutionary change, in fact, the greatest revolutionary change in the history of humanity, is now possible.
All right, so that was Bob Avakian from over 20 years ago speaking to a question that still hangs people up in a big way, and definitely students, but not just students, which is the notion of some unchanging, unchangeable human nature, and is really important. This should be spread all over the place. But it also brings us to what we are going to give the great honor of dubbing the stupidest thing we heard all week, because in response to this very substantive clip, taking on a huge question that's holding back masses of people, somebody had the brilliance to go onto social media and post in response, "Try not to reference Bob Avakian challenge. Impossible." And they really think they've got us, RevComs. Like, you can't answer anything without referencing Bob Avakian. We got you on this one. Which is really the stupidest thing we heard this week.
And there were several in competition. But in response, the Revolution Club in the Bay Area, their Instagram account, they had a pretty good answer. And they responded, "Try not to reference Einstein when talking about general relativity. Talk about rock music without talking about Jimi Hendrix. Evolution without Darwin. You cannot talk about revolution or communism today without talking about the most advanced development of it, Bob Avakian and the new communism that he's brought forward." So that's a pretty good standing answer to
And why would you want to?
Exactly. Why would you want to? I mean, look, the idiocy of it, the stupidity of it, of like, just, you think about, okay, what is the new communism that Bob Avakian has developed? If you try to make a revolution, first of all, no one else is trying, okay? Let's just get real about that. No one else has a strategy for revolution for real. But the new communism that Bob Avakian has developed is on a scientific foundation, breaking with the poisonous notion that the ends justify the means. It's breaking from all the, secondary, but real problems of religiosity that were part of the communist movement historically. I mean, it's just, you can't get out the door of revolution without talking about and basing yourself on Bob Avakian. Yeah, and you shouldn't want to. So get serious, people.
All right, so that won the stupidest thing of the week this week. And we give a shout out to the Bay Area Revolution Club and other people who send in your submissions, your responses. We'll be featuring more of them as we go forward. And this also brings us to a really meaty substantive wide-ranging and really beautiful excerpt from the Bob Avakian interview. See, I mentioned Bob Avakian from the Bob Avakian interviews that we want to share for the rest of the show, where Bob Avakian talks about, he speaks to a question that Andy Z asks him about generosity of spirit and largeness of mind and why these are so important to the revolution that he is fighting for and that we need to fight for, and that stands in stark opposition to all the snark and small-mindedness that you see on internet culture and too much of the culture overall. And in this BA, he goes in a lot of directions, but he's speaking to real things that are holding people back in their thinking now. And through this, he gives a sense of the kind of world and the kind of struggle we need to wage to get to a really emancipated world.
Well, I want to add that, you know, look, Bob Avakian is radically different than all these other leaders out here who are not talking about revolution, who are just trying to keep people's thinking locked within the system as it is. So not only is BA standout because he really is hardcore for revolution, but he's about a revolution that really is breaking all chains of tradition, all the chains of small-mindedness, all the revengism that infects people today. And it really is about a whole different way to live and a whole different way for people to relate to each other. And that just, it comes out so powerfully in this interview.
We spoke of how the new communism repudiates the idea of the ends justifies the means, that a movement led with revenge, you know, the first shall be last and the last shall be first, will just result in the reinstitution of an oppressive society if it ever gets out of one. And you've also spoken to the importance of people who step into the revolution, especially those who step forward to be strategic commanders of the revolution, need to and should want to have, I think you've put it, a largeness of mind and a generosity of spirit, while also waging very sharp struggle. We've talked about this today, very sharp struggle with the masses of people to stop thinking in the ways of this system. So we were talking to think, it's important to get into this generosity of broad-mindedness, and yet being very sharp with people to get out of what they've been into. And this relates to this question of, this isn't about the last shall be first or the first shall be last, but the transforming and bringing forward new people through revolution, and then especially in this new society that helps people become and realize their potential to be full human beings with that generosity of spirit.
Yeah, well, I think this question of the ends, you know, rejecting, repudiating, and being determined to root out of the communist movement and rooting out of society more generally, what is a very poisonous notion and practice of the ends justifies the means. It goes back to your previous question too, you know, where people say, you know, people will say, okay, I can, you know, you hear this all the time. You hear it on commentators on the, you know, bourgeois media, MSNBC, CNN, or whatever. And you hear it broadly in society. People say, okay, I can see how in the actual legal arena, when people are actually on trial, then the presumption of innocence should apply, which they don't really believe in the first place, most of them. But they'll say that, but, you know, when you're talking about conflicts that, you know, that are not in the legal arena, you know, then that doesn't really apply. Then you just have to go by what you think is actually, you know, the case, you know, and you have to believe people who claim that they were mistreated. And, you know, this is another application of the means, you know, justify the means, you know, that, okay, you know, and it's also faulty, you know, logic. Because something is true, let's say, in 90% of the cases, doesn't mean it's true in every case. Let's take the question of, you know, the sexual assault of women, which is a very big question in society and obviously a very big focal point of necessary struggle. And I've made a statement about that when the Me Too thing started up, you know, supporting that. But there's also a negative trend that's arisen. You know, it gets expressed as, quote unquote, believe all women, you know, or I believe so and so, when you haven't really looked into it. But it just, you're going off the fact that if you want to go by statistics, let's say a woman is accused, you know, it's she said, he said. Well, the she is probably telling the truth overwhelmingly majority of occasions. But that doesn't prove that it's true in any particular case. And once you throw out the principle of going by evidence, then you go on to very dangerous territory. And people in this society are very quick to make judgments without the basis for it. You know, there's a whole, you know, Sangfroid thing, you know, of like, you know, of, you know, just going after people because they, you know, they become a target. You want to pile on. You even want to be the Schadenfreude. That's the word I meant. Not Songfreude, sorry. Schadenfreude thing. It's another German expression. It means you want to rip into people. You know, so, you know, you not only do people want to pile on, but they want to be the first one. I'm the first one on social media to denounce this person as soon as they're accused. And you'll see articles where people say, so-and-so is accused of this. So then you sound like, okay, it's being reasonable. They're being accused of this. And then the next thing we'll say is, and it's very important to hear from their victims. Well, now, if you're just recognizing that they're being accused, you don't know if they have victims or not. But the logic prevails that as soon as somebody's accused, they must be guilty. This prevails in a society at large. That's why the presumption of innocence is a joke. And it's being fostered now, including by all these woke types and everything. And it may seem relatively harmless because people doing this don't have state power. But, you know, it can be used by people who do it and is used by people who do have state power. And God forbid if people like this ever came to have state power. Would anybody want to live in a society where people apply the principle that as soon as you're accused, you're guilty? If there's not a basis for a legal procedure to determine innocence and guilt, then unless it's very obvious, unless the person accused is basically admitting that they did what they're accused of, you don't have a basis for making judgments about whether what they're accused of is true or not. And you shouldn't be leaping to make judgments like that because it's very harmful and it sets a very harmful tone and culture in society, you know, where people are ripping each other down. And, you know, like, again, once you throw out, this is a, you know, this is a grotesque example or expression of the ends justify the means. You know, because, you know, a lot of terrible oppression goes on, therefore, you know, who cares if we trample all over basic principles, you know, because after all, we have to do something about the fact that people are being oppressed. Isn't that what we've always been accused of? Isn't what communists have always been accused of? Because we're for ending oppression, it's all right that we go and trample all over people's rights and just catch a whole bunch of people up in something that they may not be guilty of because it's for the greater good. And after all, most people probably are doing the things that we're accusing them of. You see how terrible this can be and is, and the whole tone it sets in society. And it's very, once again, anti-scientific. You're not going by evidence. You're not even really looking for evidence. You're just looking. Once again, the Schadenfreude, you're just looking for a chance to tear somebody down because you don't think you have anything that you can do that's more meaningful than that. And this kind of stuff, you know, we talk about the ends justify the means, is extremely poisonous and really does need to be rooted out. And that, you know, that doesn't mean, for example, that when women come forward and say they've been sexually assaulted, they should be taken very seriously, unless the claim, you know, can quickly be shown to be without foundation. But in general, they should be taken extremely seriously. But taking them seriously means looking into it and investigating it, not automatically believing them. And you can go down the line, you know, because once you fall into that, you're going to a very bad place. And any kind of society that would function on those principles, and it is way too much already now, would be a terrible society to live in. And, you know, on top of everything else that we've been talking about how terrible this society is. So I just wanted to say that about your, you know, the how this links up the ends justify the means. So I'm sorry, but what was the rest of the question?
Well, I think it's very important, and it does permeate. It's the poison that's in that we have to actually struggle against. But there's also the concept in there of the generosity of spirit,
oh, yeah,
the largeness of mind. You know, now I'll date myself too, because I also followed actually was opposed to the Green Bay Packers, which is an NFL football team. But there was a coach, I think it was Vince Lombardi, who said, nice guys finish last. Was it, right?
That's what. Yeah.
Yeah. And you once said in response to that, well, we have to finish first. We have to win. But we're going to do it as nice guys. And that doesn't mean we're going to be soft, as you spoke to earlier. But I thought it was important to get into what's meant by the largeness of mind, generosity of spirit. And as you said earlier, being for the emancipation of humanity, and you said in the dialogue with Cornel West, to love is not being soft.
Yeah, well, I think largesse of mind and generosity of spirit are closely connected. Largesse of mind means that you are looking at things, you know, in a broad perspective, not narrowly, you know, but you're actually looking at things broadly and seeking, you know, also you're seeking the underlying causes of things, you know, and but also you want to learn from and encompass a lot of different things coming from a lot of different sources. That's a very important part of largesse of mind. You know, like we should be, you know, the most, you know, anxious to learn from any source that we can learn from, even people who vehemently disagree with us, if there's something that we can learn from what they're saying, even if we have to disagree with 97% of it or more. You know, so that largesse of mind means the orientation of learning from broadly from many diverse sources, including people who do not agree with you. You know, and that's very important, because it is true that even, you know, as I've said, under socialism, even reactionaries should be allowed to publish some books. I said that before the Constitution was written, which institutionalizes that. But why is that? Because you can learn. You know, I'll give you an example from my own experience. Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was an official, you know, I think he was the defense secretary under Carter, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, he's a major functionary and thinker of the imperialists, wrote about the Russian Revolution that the tradition of autocracy, and I'll explain that in a second, the tradition of autocracy in Russia seeped its way into the Bolsheviks, the communists, and that explains why they were repressive. Now, autocracy is a government that, you know, that doesn't allow people's rights, you know, that rules by absolute authority and so on and so forth. And he said, you know, this tradition, what was he talking about? In Russia, they had a whole tradition of absolute monarchs, the czars, you know, whose power was unquestioned for a long time. They were the absolute and ultimate authority in society. So that was a tradition of autocracy, so to speak. And that's what Brzezinski was talking about. So he wrote this thing and he said, you know, this applied to the Russian Revolution. This tradition and deeply seated in Russian society, you know, also influenced the Bolsheviks and led them to be repressive. And I wrote and I said, ah, this is a bunch of bullshit, you know, because the Bolshevik Revolution was against everything that the autocracy, that the czars and every oppressive and exploitive relation in society. So this is complete bullshit. So then I thought about it for a while and I said, well, actually, it's not complete bullshit. So you know, when you think about it, there's probably some truth to that, that, you know, like Mao said about Stalin, that one of Stalin's problems methodologically was he was raised in a religious seminary where he was taught to, you know, to think in the kind of absolute wooden terms that religion trains you to think. And he said this carried over into the way he led the communist movement and the socialist society. And he upheld Stalin overall, but he said this was a serious problem with Stalin. So similarly, we could say in the Russian Revolution, there was undoubtedly influence of the character of that society, even on the people who were, to use these terms, negating that society, overthrowing it and transforming and replacing it. There was still some influence there. So then, after thinking about it, I wrote something, followed up, and said, well, he has something of a point. So this is an example where you can learn, and you have to be willing to learn from people who, you know, look, we're completely on the opposite side of everything, and when it comes down to it, we'll be on the opposite side of the barricades, so to speak, from the Brzezinskis of the world. But that doesn't mean that you can't learn anything from them. And that's why I said even reactionaries should be allowed to write books in socialist society, because they may point out some things about what we're doing that we would actually want to understand are bad, even though where they're coming from is trying to get rid of what we're seeking to do. You see what I'm saying? So that has to do with largeness of mind. Now, generosity of spirit is closely connected to that. You know, but also involves the whole point we've been talking about. What is this revolution for? It's not for revenge. Mm-hmm. It's not just to tear down other people in order to climb over them. That's what Lenin meant when he said, everyone who makes revolution from the standpoint of, they had their chance, now it's my turn to have a go, does it from the point of view of the petty bourgeoisie. And what he meant is it's characteristic of the petty bourgeoisie. They feel squeezed. They want to climb over others to get a better position. So that's not what this revolution is about. It's not about climbing over others. It's not about taking revenge, even when people have done terrible things. It's not about taking revenge on people. If people have committed terrible crimes, and the Constitution for the New Socialist Republic in North America institutionalizes this, there are legal means in which they should be tried and, if convicted, punished for the crimes that they've committed, including against crimes against humanity and war crimes and the rest of it. But it's not a matter of individuals taking revenge. If we go down that road, it's the same problem I was just speaking to. Then you get back to the ends justify the means. Any means are justified because of what we suffered. And let's be honest. When you talk about how we got to struggle with masses of people, this is going to be one of the sharpest focus of struggle, especially with people who have been so badly f***ed over under the present system, including by people who do have a little bit better position than them. I mean, this is one thing also going way back to the woke thing. What should our focus be on, micro or macro? You see, macro means the large picture. Micro means the smallest picture. A lot of these people are focused on all the microaggressions. Okay, nobody should put up with people being racist toward them or, you know, patriarchal toward them, misogynist. Nobody should put up with that in their personal relations. But where is your eye focused? It should be focused on the big macro, the big picture of what's going on to masses of people. That should be where your orientation and your focus is. You know, on the thousands of people that are, you know, the 1,000 people who are murdered every year by the police, a disproportionate number of Black, Brown, and Native American, many of them unarmed. The millions of people who are mass incarcerated, the people who are discriminated against, segregated, denied any kind of a decent life, forced to live in poverty or even homeless. The women who are subjected to battering and rape and all the rest of it. Those are the bigger things that our attention should be focused on in terms of uprooting all of this. And yes, with it, we'll transform these microaggressions too. But our focus has to be on the big picture. The macro means big, the big picture. So this is also very important. What was I saying before? Generosity of spirit. Okay, let's get back to that. Well, you can see how this figures in here. You know, it's, what is this revolution about? Why should we have generosity of spirit? Because we're emancipators of humanity. We're not about, you know, settling scores. We're not about, you know, ripping into people for things they've done wrong. If they've done wrong, they need to be held accountable. But we also need to struggle to transform people. That's what this revolution is about. And the generosity of spirit flows from that. If you understand that we're seeking to uproot, it both flows from it and is necessary to reinforce it. But let me put it that way. If you understand that what we're out to do is to uproot all this exploitation and oppression, then you should have a largeness of mind, including learning from everything you can learn and everyone you can learn from, but also a generosity of spirit, recognizing that people, contrary to what's often said these days, people can and do change. I can sit here and give you examples of multiple people that I know, including myself for that matter, but other people I know from the 60s and so on and since, who've undergone major transformation, major changes, people who are into really bad, you know, are supporting really bad things. People who were Goldwater supporters back in the 1960s who became radicals and revolutionaries through the course of the 60s. Soldiers who, you know, in Vietnam committed terrible atrocities, as I've said before. You know, go down the line. People can transform. And one of the dimensions of generosity of spirit is recognizing that. And then, okay, it's perfectly consistent with that, and in fact an expression of it, that you're going to struggle like hell with people to get them to transform, exactly because you do recognize that they can and that they need to. You're not going to be liberal. It doesn't do any good to be liberal with people. People don't need any more social workers. You know, I'm not saying all social workers do bad things, just to be clear, but that's not what communists need to be. That's not what people recognize a need for overturning this whole system, uprooting it, and bringing a different system into being. Don't need to be giving people some kind of solace or something, or, you know, being liberal with them. When people talk bullshit, they should be told they're talking bullshit because it's harmful. It's harmful to them, but it's harmful to much, much greater numbers of people when people are caught up in bullshit. So why should we hesitate to struggle with people? If you have respect for people, You will struggle with them. It's a lack of respect for people if you don't struggle with them when you know they're doing things that are f***ed up. If you really respect people and understand the potential for them to change, you will struggle like hell with people. And we can all sit here and know that we've all been struggled with, you know, by people who, you know, who at the time had a better, you know, were coming from a better place than us. You go back to anybody's history. You land, you know, you get where you are now to being an emancipator of humanity. You weren't born that way and you didn't spontaneously go that way. People fought with you, people struggled with you, and you learned from them. So, you know, to me, it's the highest respect for people if you struggle, not if you just try to tear them down. You know, not if all your concern is like proving that you're superior to them or that they're just worthless and irredeemable and all this kind of bullshit. But if you actually understand that they can and must change, then you have enough respect for them to struggle like hell with them, to actually act in their own interests and the interests of the broad mass of people and ultimately all humanity. So you're going to struggle like hell with them for that.
Man, listening to that again makes you appreciate how much we have in this leader, in these interviews, how much he's opened up, really heart and soul and hardcore for revolution, as the title says. And I just, you know, if you haven't watched these ever, if that's your first introduction, if you haven't watched them recently, go back on this channel and watch all three parts of this interview. We just saw a small excerpt from what's really a wide-ranging and world-changing interview series of interviews with Bob Avakian. And I just, the other thing I want to add is, you know, we're in a time here where every second counts in bringing forward forces for revolution and impacting society for this revolution, the revolution we just heard, with so much wide open arms and yes, largeness of mind. These interviews need to be reaching everyone, everywhere, impacting society. So watch them, spread them, argue with your friends about watching them, organize people over, come over your house and eat dinner together and watch them, and correspond with the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show, with RevCom.us about what you're hearing, about what questions you're encountering in taking these out throughout society. And, you know, we have a world to change.
We've got some time left, so I'd like to play this.
This is Bob Avakian, BA, revolutionary leader, bringing forward a whole new way, a whole new framework for human emancipation, the new communism. I'm coming to you straight up, bringing truth the powers that be don't want you to have, truth you need to know. Well, what is Israel supposed to do? Just let this attack by Hamas go unanswered, encouraging further attacks? What about Israel's right to defend itself? That is another argument raised by Israel and its supporters. The truth is that Israel, like apartheid South Africa before it, is an illegitimate state, and as such, it has no legitimate right to defend itself. And its so-called defense has repeatedly involved the deliberate killing of civilians, including large numbers of children. What is Israel supposed to do? Israel is supposed to stop brutally oppressing the Palestinian people. But Israel, as a racist, Jewish supremacist, Zionist state, cannot do that. It cannot do that because murderous oppression of the Palestinian people has been built into the state of Israel from the very beginning. And Israel could not exist without brutally oppressing the Palestinian people. And since Israel cannot stop brutally oppressing the Palestinian people, Israel, as a racist Zionist state, must cease to exist. The real question is, what is the legitimate way to fight against the state of Israel? And what is a just solution to all this? The answer is definitely not to kill off all the Jews in Israel or drive them into the sea. The answer is the abolition of the state of Israel, and in its place, the creation of a revolutionary state in which the government and the laws do not promote any religion and do not favor one people over another. And instead, there is equality between Jews and Palestinians. The answer is also definitely not the two-state solution being promoted by the Biden administration. Such a two-state solution would really amount to nothing more than a powerful state of Israel continuing to occupy land stolen from the Palestinian people, while the so-called Palestinian state created with this solution would be a bitter joke, a puppet state, merely a patchwork of separated small territories surrounded and dominated by Israel, with the Palestinian people still subjected to terrible oppression and deprivation. The answer is that the fight against the state of Israel must be waged on a revolutionary basis, with the goal of putting an end to all oppressive relations and all inequality among people based on race and nationality, sex and gender, and all relations in which one part of society exploits others. And the urgent need is for a revolutionary force to emerge to lead the struggle on that basis.
And that brings us to the end of another episode of The Michael Slate Show. I'd like to thank Andy Z and everyone at the RNL Revolution Nothing Less Show. I'd like to thank my assistant producer, Henry Carson. And that brings us to the end of another show here at The Michael Slate Show. I'd like to thank Andy Z and everybody at the Revolution Nothing Less Show, my assistant producer, Henry Carson, and all of you for tuning in. And again, check out The RevComs on YouTube at youtube.com/TheRevComs and follow at Bob Avakian Official on all your social media platforms. And remember, the problem is not human nature, it is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible. My name is Sansara Taylor. I'll talk to you again next week.
Troubled times.